This show contains discussions of violence, murder, abuse, suicide, some use of language, and other things that some people may find offensive. We don't recommend Crime Cafe for children under the age of 14. Listener discretion is advised. Evelyn Grace Hartley, who went by Evie, was born November 21, 1938. Evelyn was an American teenager who has been missing since October 24, 1953. From La Crosse, Wisconsin, her disappearance sparked a search involving 2,000 people. In the first year following her disappearance, investigators questioned more than 3,500 people and dedicated the entire front page to her in the La Crosse Tribune and gave mass lie detector tests to try and catch her kidnapper and likely killer. As of 2021, no trace of her has been found. This is the disappearance and abduction of Evelyn Grace Hartley. Welcome or welcome back to this episode of Crime Cafe Podcast. I'm Amber.
I'm Coral, and today we're going to be discussing the abduction of Evelyn Grace Hartley. This is like the Gabby Petito of 1953.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Except it wasn't her boyfriend.
Thank God.
But the amount of attention she gets is just like Gabby. So we try not to talk about what the victims look like or what the suspects look like, but Evelyn was absolutely beautiful. She was described as attractive, wholesome, and intelligent. At just 14 years old, she was a junior in high school, and she maintained an A average. The principal of her high school, George Scott, told the La Crosse Tribune, quote, "She was popular because she did the right things in the right way," end quote. Evelyn had a passion for science, and she conducted a lot of science experiments at her home. Evelyn and her family were strong Presbyterians, and they frequently went to church, where her mother was a Sunday school teacher, and Evelyn was a frequent pianist for the church. Her pastor said she was dependable, quiet, and devoted. Her father was an elder of the congregation, and she also helped in the baby nursery at the church.
And to be a junior at 14.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And she's like a scientist.
I know.
Yeah. So smart. She's an accomplished person. Yes. And plays piano.
So Evelyn was one of four children. Richard, who was in the army during the Korean War and unfortunately died from polio unexpectedly. Thomas, who was 22 at the time of her abduction. And a girl, Caroline, who was 6 when Evelyn was abducted. In some reports, it says she was 15, but she wasn't. She was about a month away from her 15th birthday.
On the day of her abduction, October 24th, 1953, Evelyn was babysitting for her neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Rasmussen. They had a 20-month-old baby named Janice at the time, whom she was watching. The Rasmussens picked Evelyn up from her family home at around 6:30 p.m., the Rasmussens took her back to their house so she could watch the baby while they, their daughter, and a neighbor girl went to the La Crosse State College football game. Normally, Evelyn would call her parents while at her jobs, her babysitting jobs, just let them know she's okay. Of course, there's no cell phones. Mm-hmm. When her parents didn't receive a call that night, they phoned the Rasmussens. They're like, we're calling you at around 8:30, but they didn't get an answer.
The Hartleys were immediately like, no, this isn't right. There is something definitely wrong. She would have called us by now, and if we called her, she would answer.
I have no doubt.
Yeah, literally. That's insane.
She has a track record for being dependable.
And to not answer the phone at the home you're babysitting at, it could be the parents.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So, Evelyn's dad knew that he needed to go check on her. He immediately went to the Rasmussen's house, and when he arrived, the door was locked. The lights were on, and a radio was playing.
Creepy.
Yes. He pounded on the door and shouted for 10 minutes, but got no answer, so he walked around behind the house and found that a basement window was open. He crawled through the window and found one of Evelyn's shoes at the bottom of the basement staircase. He jogged up the steps, worried, and he found Evelyn's glasses and her other shoe in the living room floor. Baby Janice was sound asleep and unharmed. Thank God they at least left, you know, they probably didn't even know about Janice, maybe, or something, but at least they didn't hurt her, too.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, I'm kind of, like, freaking out right now because this is, like, one of my biggest fears is to be surprised in my house by somebody. Like, it's an actual fear that I think could happen. And I keep, when researching this case, I kept zoning out and getting scared.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is, like...
I'm terrified of a home invasion.
I know. Like, and what you learn later is just, like, even worse. And then you imagine how it happened. And it's just, it's horrible. So, Mr. Hartley was freaking the heck out. So, he ran to the neighbor across the street, Frank Linder, and phoned the police. This is insane. Can I tell you? They, like, literally don't hesitate, which is great.
Yes, thank God.
20 officers, including some that were usually day shift, so they were off duty, arrived at the scene to help Mr. Hartley. Not only the officers, but the sheriff, the deputy sheriff, the highway patrol, detectives, and members of the district attorney office arrived at the scene. The officers and detectives combed a 3-block area and found a blood stain about 10 feet from the open basement window. They had bloodhounds trace the blood, which led them across a couple of adjacent house lawns, and to a point where about 2 blocks away, the scent just stopped. And investigators, like, are like, yeah, she got in a car.
And now she's gone.
Yep.
Once you get in a car, that's so scary. Mm-hmm. So they worked through most of the night. And when daylight approached, they noticed some blood stains on a garage about 100 feet from the Rasmussen house. The stain started at about 4 feet high and went almost the whole length of the wall.
Sorry.
I know. What was he doing?
I don't know.
More blood was found on a corner of the Rasmussen's home and in the pool of blood near the basement. They noticed gouges?
Yeah, like gouges in the ground.
Oh, okay. They noticed gouges in the puddle. They also found pry marks on the basement window.
Freak.
Yeah.
Hate, hate, hate. And all the stories where it's like the one of the siblings was stolen out of a room and the other one was left behind.
Hate. I know.
Hate. The whole town of La Crosse is shook to the core. They're flipping out. They say that this does not happen in their small town of about 40,000 people at the time, which I really wouldn't consider that small because that's pretty big.
Yeah.
I mean, Fannin County has 21,000 people in it. So, you know, it's double that.
In the whole county.
Yeah. And they considered it to be a small town feel, nonetheless. Like, they say it's a small town, so it is. So some witnesses start to come forward. One neighbor said they seen a car repeatedly driving around the neighborhood, and another person who lived nearby claimed that he had heard screams an hour earlier. The witness thought it was just children playing at 7 o'clock at night in October.
Screaming?
Mm-hmm. Right. So 2 days after the incident, local resident Ed Hofer told police that while he was driving his vehicle, he was almost hit by a Buick as it was speeding in a westerly direction. Inside the Buick, Hofer reportedly seeing one man was driving the vehicle while a second man was in the back seat with a girl.
Several days later, various items of clothing, many of which were stained with blood, were found at different locations. Blood found on the jacket matched Evelyn's blood type. Of course, they didn't have DNA then, so they had to go off of, like, typing and stuff. But it's quite a coincidence that it matched. Over 1,000 members of the local community, including law enforcement officers, the National Guard, Boy Scouts, and La Crosse State College students and faculty, participated in a search in October of 1953.
The community pulls out all the stops for Evelyn, hoping they would find her alive. The Civil Air Patrol, the U.S. Air Force were also used in the search. Yes.
How are they getting?
I don't know.
Okay.
But the Rasmussen father, of the girl she was babysitting?
Yes.
He was a professor.
Oh, so.
A vehicle inspection program was also undertaken with the intent of searching every vehicle in the La Crosse County. God.
Yeah, with 40,000.
Yeah. Gas station attendants were asked to check cars for bloodstains every time they pump people's gas.
Oh, yeah. I forgot they did that. Mm-hmm.
Recent graves were reopened to determine if Evelyn's remains were placed with a recent burial. Yes. Yes, girl.
I'm so what?
Shook.
Yes.
I know. They also asked local farmers to look for Evelyn on their property. This all happened within the first 2 days of her disappearance.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. She got all the attention. Good. Yes. So investigators started questioning sex offenders in the area. The chief of the highway patrol questioned at least two men that were reported to be in the vicinity of the incident. The two men he questioned had been peeping on women multiple times a week, so much that they had to have constant patrolling of the area.
No, okay. I almost want to close my ears at this part. I hate it so bad, Amber. I'm glad you're saying it. I'm not kidding. I'm freaking out.
Okay. So, in one incident, one of the perpetrators was staring in the basement window where he was watching a woman ironing her clothing. He repeatedly laughed and told her, "I'm gonna get you." But although things are creepy and there's physical evidence, not many leads emerge.
Imagine you're faced away from the window, nope, doing your laundry, and someone says, "I'm gonna get you."
No, that's terrifying.
Kill me. Fucking end me right there. Sorry.
I don't know what I would do if I saw someone just looking in my window, like, not doing anything, just looking in my window.
Mm-mm. I wouldn't make it, love. I'll pass away. Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. The Monday morning after the incident, about 2 days after, Mrs. Hartley finally visited the scene of the abduction of her daughter. She was devastated when she saw the window and the bloodstains, and she knew right then that her daughter was dead. In May 1954, 7 months afterward, mass lie detector tests were conducted on La Crosse area high school boys in an attempt to find more information about Evelyn's disappearance. Though local authorities had planned to test 1,750 students and faculty, the testing was controversial and was halted after around 300 people were tested. I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
This is something we want to happen, but it's most likely couldn't happen.
Yeah, because all kinds of parents, because lie detectors are not.
I know. And when someone's murdered and it's likely to be a guy or something, I want every male to go to the police station immediately.
I know.
But.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Every single one of them except one is innocent.
Yeah, and a lot of people that are innocent fail lie detector tests.
Oh, yeah.
So,
a reward fund established in the immediate aftermath of the event reached $6,600, worth about $64,000 today.
Oh, wow. So, after his arrest, murderer Ed Gein was considered a suspect in Evelyn's disappearance, as he was visiting a relative a few blocks away from the Rasmussen house at the time. However, Gein denied involvement in the disappearance and passed two lie detector tests. Police found no trace of Evelyn's remains during a search of Ed's Plainfield property. In November of 1957, authorities announced that Ed had been cleared of any connection with the disappearances of both Evelyn and Georgia Weckler, an 8-year-old who disappeared in 1947. Despite this, some still consider Ed Gein a suspect. A lot of people like to connect victims to already known serial killers.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it was someone that knew her.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
No.
or someone that knew the Rasmussens and like maybe knew they would be out that night and would have a babysitter.
Right. In 2004, a man named Mel Williams came forward with a conversation he recorded years earlier at a bar. Isn't that crazy? That's so weird. Although his goal was to record a band, which was performing.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
What if we're out somewhere and it seems like someone's confessing and we're like, hold on. And we just get our mic out. We're like, hold on.
Say that again.
Say that again, louder on this side. The conversation between the two men was unintentionally recorded as well. On the tape, one of the men, Clyde Peterson, implicated himself and Jack Golfair and an unnamed third party in the disappearance, claiming that Evelyn was murdered and buried in LaForge, Wisconsin after her kidnapping. Golfair and the unnamed party are now deceased, although authorities promised to investigate the lead. No further developments were ever made. How can you just be chilling, drinking a Bud Light, and some dude's over here like, yep.
I know.
It was me.
And who was he talking to? Like, who did he tell that to?
Some dude.
And if you could hear it on the tape, could you not hear it in person?
I'm sure.
Because I feel like I would hear that, you would have heard that and been like, maybe I should go to the police.
Like, call 911.
That's just so odd to me. Evelyn was last seen wearing red denim, white stage.
White stag.
Evelyn was last seen wearing red denim, white stag jeans that zipped up on the side, a pearl-buttoned white ship and shore blouse, and white bobby socks. Around the pants was an Indian beaded belt with a metal buckle. She wore glasses. This case can be solved. If you have any information, we encourage you to call the La Crosse Police Department at 608-785-5962.
And that is the abduction and likely murder of Evelyn Grace Hartley. And the Vanished podcast did an episode about her, by the way.
That's so sad.
I know. And you know what I think happened? I don't think Evelyn was in the basement.
I don't know.
I think she was upstairs. Someone pried open, went through the basement, went up the stairs, got her out of the living room.
Yeah, that's why her stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Someone could have honestly been in the house before the Rasmussens ever even left.
Right. I know.
You don't know how long he was waiting there.
And I think, yeah, because he's probably waiting on them to leave. Because it wasn't long after she was dropped off that it happened.
What if he thought they all left? Like, what if she just had the TV or something on with a baby that was asleep and he thought they were all gone and he came up to rob their house and there was this girl?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe it wasn't sexually motivated.
Yeah,
but I don't know why he would steal her.
Because you panic.
Why wouldn't you kill her right then?
Because he probably didn't want to kill anybody. I mean, if he was just going in to rob a place, you don't want to kill somebody.
But why would he take her?
Because he didn't know what else to do. She had seen him and he panicked.
Yeah, this person definitely panicked.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so much blood everywhere.
She tried to get away or something at that house where that blood.
Yeah.
She had to have.
I think she was stabbed in that pool of blood.
Yeah.
Because there was like impressions in the ground.
Yeah.
Under the puddle.
It's true.
But there was such a struggle. And they said, the police said that, believes that like they, like at some point something happened and then she was drugged the rest of the way through the yards and stuff.
Yeah.
Brave. Bold. Panicked.
Well, yeah, didn't have anything else to do.
Right. And they've gotten away with it so far. Mm-hmm. For like 67 years.
Yeah. It's very odd to me about the guys in the bar. The guy in the bar.
Yeah. There's something that has to be there.
Yeah.
I hate that.
I do too. And, like, when was the recording taken? I know it came forward in, like, 2004, but...
I know. I guess they're still looking into it. This could be a case that we could literally update you guys, in a couple months.
Yeah.
Like, there's no telling what's going to happen. We know this was a short one, but it's important.
Yes.
And we hope you guys like this episode. I know it's incredibly disturbing.
Yes.
I personally, this is like my personal hell.
Yeah, this is.
But it's unsolved. And if you do have any information, just call the number.
Yes, please.
But we will catch you guys in the next one.
Bye. Bye.
You can find Crime Cafe on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Crime Cafe Pod.
And you can email us case suggestions at crimecafepod@yahoo.com.
Click our merch link below if you want to get some Crime Cafe shirts, decals, or coffee mugs.
We also have a Goodreads profile in the show notes below. There you will find all of the books that we have mentioned or recommend on our show. It's free and no membership is required to see our library.
This episode and all of our episodes are researched, recorded, and edited by us, Corey and Amber.
All of our opinions are our own. Although we try to make these episodes as accurate as possible, some statements may be inaccurate.